Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, everyone. This is Sally Elcordy, and welcome to Public Advocate. I am expecting two gentlemen from the United Kingdom to be calling into my show today. One is an old and very dear friend, Keith Dusnup, and he is from, he's known as Keith Occupy Manchester Dusnup, and I hope I'm saying his last name correctly. And then he is bringing on with him a friend that I am crazy about. I am totally a huge fan of this man. His name is Darren Nesbitt. And my friends Catherine O'Shanahan and Camille Christie are also big fans of his. So I'm hoping, actually, that all of us can talk together at some point. But I have not gotten a confirmation from Keith, and I don't know if there's a problem. So we'll find this out eventually. However, while I'm waiting on my guest, and I was hoping to use up every minute of this interview with them, because there's a lot of there are a lot of situations they have been covering regarding justice, and I would like to get an update on all the issues I have discussed previously with Keith and the current actions they're pursuing. Keith is a filmmaker, and Darren is a songwriter and singer, musician. So I'm anxious to have both of them on. However, right now I am in the middle of a fundraiser for a movie about mothers of vaccine-injured children to prevent mothers from accepting vaccines, period. It's not more complicated than that. And I was just interviewing Leslie Carol Botha, and she was saying when they made a presentation, I don't know, to the European Union or in Brussels, I'm not sure where they were at the time, that people were gasping as they were reading the list of adverse reactions to the HPV Gardasil vaccine. And I can well believe it. And I was thinking, I have 4 years worth of interviews of parents, mostly mothers, of vaccine-injured children. And there are so many interviews and so many stories, and we only have 2 hours to air what it is they have to say. I am married to every single word they utter. I have had to recruit an editor who is very knowledgeable about vaccines and say to him, you decide what the most important things are because it's all important to me. I said, or we could just have a film of my gasping as they tell their tales. I wish this were funny, but I know I have audibly gasped a multitude of times during these interviews, no joke. And so also in terms of what's going down, has gone down in West Virginia, where the parents have to allow their children to be vaccinated or be criminalized for not doing so, that's a particular brand of police state, right? Well, anyway, their legislators didn't vote for it. In fact, they voted against it, and the Health Commission came in and had their way with the parents and children of West Virginia. Well, this has happened here in New York City, too. We have Mayor Bloomberg under him, instead of legislating, first of all, the state normally legislates vaccines, rules, and regulations. I'm all about just freeing ourselves, because I have been after these legislators all of last year. I just went at it with reckless abandon. It was nothing reckless about it. Very, very thoughtful legislation listing all the ingredients, 100% of which are poisonous, all of the diseases, which are all diseases in internal medicine, and all of the intent, which is quite staggering. Amazing amount of intent. The intent was the largest part of the bill. Oh, brother. Anyway, so there's nothing funny about it. I laugh because I'm laughing at myself, I guess, for having failed. In fact, everybody understood everything I had to say. There was, you know, There was no lack of clarity there. There was just a lack of will to do the right thing or courage to stand against the system being as corrupt as it is. So I'm really hoping to hear from my remarkably active friend, Keith, and get an update on all of his pursuits. He is pursuing justice. This is a full-time job, just like trying to wake parents up to free themselves from vaccines, since our government has failed to protect us from these poisons. So anyway, I'm going to give you a hint, okay? I'm going to give you a hint of the song that Darren Nesbitt sang. And Catherine and Camille will know instantaneously what song this is. It is, the lyrics were written to a well-known tune. They in particular will know exactly what I'm talking about. And here goes. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. All right. Well, somebody's messaging me. Maybe they're trying to get me to shut up. Hey. Oh, Keith's messaging me. Excellent. Okay. Hi, Keith. Yeah, okay. We are on air. Right now. Two p.m. here is 7 p.m. for you, right? Oh, dear. Well, I certainly hope he gets to call in. He's Occupy Manchester Doosnip, and he had a film. I may have to bring you up to speed because who knows when he's going to get in. Oh, what are you doing? Oh, on air now. Okay. Oh dear. I always say to people, check the world's clock. We're in New York, and I believe he's 5 hours ahead, and it would be 7 p.m. for him. Maybe they're not observing, maybe they don't observe daylight savings time. Maybe that's the problem. I don't know. But we are on air now, and I will tell him to call in now. Boy, you can do everything right and still things will go wrong. I am never stood up for a show unless it's an autism mother, and then I am stood up on a regular basis because their lives, their schedules, their availability is not theirs. It's their child. So if a child is having a meltdown or projectile vomiting or any number of things that can transpire, they will not be calling in. They will completely forget about you, and rightly so. So it's a constant concern, and this is why I want to give this is why I want to give them a voice by making a film. Because we've gone as far as we can with the radio shows. You know, I've promoted them. I, you know, do everything I can to get people to listen to these radio shows, and I'm very diligent about it. So I have, I've done everything I can with the radio shows. Figure, since I have this incredible number of scenarios of vaccine injury, that to make it into a film, I have the photographs of all of the people that I have interviewed, because on the Mary and Sally show, which is normally where I interview parents, it says here, now Keith, contact me. Can do, but Darren isn't with me. I see. Well, we'll live. We'll live and have him on again. Okay? All right, I just messaged my friend Keith. Now, where was I? Oh, yes. Well, since, you know, I hope he doesn't message me again, because it's hard for me to know when he's doing that and when I have to look at the screen so I know when he calls in. But so basically we're taking all these interviews, and my friend Natural Immunity will be editing them, and we have the photographs of all the people that we've interviewed, of all people that I've interviewed. So on the Mary and Sally show, now the Mary and Sally show is, oh, he keeps messaging me. I really wish he would just call in. Okay, is the link above still applicable? Here is the number to call. Call into now. Okay. So, well, as many interruptions and as I can get, I guess I'm having. I don't remember what I was talking about. Sorry about that. Oh, yes. So the Mary and Sally show, basically, Mary was my vaccine-injured sister. She is now dead. She died at 23. My mother was lied to all of her life by doctors, and I have found many, many, many more children like my sister since they've been increasing the vaccine schedule and shoving as many vaccines into children as possible. And it turns out every mother of a parent who reminds me of my sister says also, but the doctor said it wasn't the vaccine. So I did a video called My Doctor Said It Wasn't the Vaccine, because I am just sickened by the lie that allows this to perpetuate. So anyway, so it's the Mary and Sally show, Mary being my sister, and I've been interviewing people for 4 years now, and I have their photographs, I have their voices, and basically if we get a really good 3 minutes from each of all these mothers, I'd like to have more. Honestly, I'd like to air each and every interview in a movie, but it's not going to happen. If we could get a few minutes of their basically testimony of what has transpired since their child was vaccinated, and we are going to have the most powerful film in creation. So I have a fundraiser on Indiegogo that ends today. Trying to raise not a lot of money, just $500, so I can pay this professional editor who is a friend of mine and somebody who really understands what's going on and whose opinion I value to help me edit this, because it's a mammoth amount of work. 4 years of weekly interviews with parents of vaccine-injured children, and they just have so much to say. And if this does not wake parents up, just absolutely nothing will. And so I'm going to do it in a Ken Burns type fashion, where we have the photographs and the names and their voices saying what they need to say. It doesn't have to be complicated, but it does have to be tight so we can fit everybody's story in. I want everybody's story to be part of this, although any one story is sufficient, believe me. It's quite staggering what is going on with our children, thanks to the medical industrial complex and the pharmaceutical industrial complex. And decades of deceit has left our children dead and certainly diminished. And we are 1 in 50 autism. I understand it's 1 in 29 in New Jersey, where the youngest are being mandated, and here now in New York City. And we have caps on exemptions, which means the regular schedule of 49 shots through the age of 5, 49 doses through the age of 5, is mandated for 98.8% of the people. So, how about that? Plus the additional mandates of the flu shot and pneumococcal, and there are 271 vaccines in the pipeline, and they have a little caveat they threw in that says any new additional vaccine which may be required. So if you don't get the fact that they are using our children as pincushions in an attempt to kill or diminish them, you're not paying attention. It's 100% poison. They create all diseases in internal medicine, and the intention is to do this. This is my ban vaccines 2013 legislation, and now my vaccine free. I really not looking to legislators to help anymore. Believe me, I'm just trying to tell parents, free yourself now, now to save your child. And there's all kinds of hocus pocus going on with exemptions in terms of both California and Colorado, making parents that they want an exemption to sign a form saying that they know the benefits of vaccines and yet they refuse to give them to their children and don't care if they hurt other children while they are denying their children of the benefits. So this is a trap. This is entrapment. And this will lead to Children's Protective Services showing up at their door. You can guarantee it. You don't play along with hurting your child. There will be hell to pay, I'm sure. So this is, as Dr. Langton, Dr. Carley, and I hate to say it, this is the wrong time to be having children. Do not have children now. I actually said this to my child, to my daughter, I said, and my son, no kids until I can stop the madness. They shouldn't even be offering these. These are life-stealing vaccines. They are being offered as life-saving vaccines. So there is a huge lie transpiring here, and our children are the victims of this deceit, this decades-old deceit. Everybody who's in love with the polio vaccine and the chickenpox vaccine should definitely go to dissolvingillusions.com, which is a site established by Roman Bistrionic and Dr. Suzanne Humphreys to dispel the myth that is the benefit of the polio and smallpox vaccines. Also, there is a very important article that was written about not the myth of herd immunity, that's a good article, I'll include that in the commentary below, but the fairy tale of herd immunity. Boy, that really spells it out though in certain terms, in terms of the fact that herd immunity applies to natural immunity. What's more, vaccines are not immunity. So which part of the lie shall we delve into? So we have to call it what it is because we don't have time. They have increased the schedule to the point where no child will get out alive. And if they do survive, who's going to take care of the next generation, pray tell? Who's going to be left? The parents, you know, I kind of pity the kids who are left unvaccinated because they're going to have so much responsibility taking care of all the children who are vaccine injured, who will not be living an independent life. And there aren't going to be many of them. In Colorado, they're up in arms. 4% of the children are unvaccinated. Well, that 4%, if they're not already vaccine injured, and that's why they're not accepting vaccines, that 4% is going to have to carry the load of the 96% who are vaccinated. So this is as serious an issue as exists. So I'm still waiting to hear from my friend Keith Dusnith. I don't know what's going on. But perhaps he thought I was saying we'll talk another time. I don't know what's going on. Oh, dear. Let me write to him. Are you calling in? Question mark, question mark, question mark. Oh, dear. Well, anyway, perhaps this was meant to be a monologue. I don't really yearn for monologues. I yearn to talk to knowledgeable people like my guest, activist Keith Dusnith. Not having much luck with Skype. Well, okay. Abandon Skype and call. All right. Soon he will not be able to call in because even though we had a 45-minute interview scheduled, if he doesn't get in before 2:30, he will not get in at all. So I'm pulling for you, Keith. Come on, Keith. Let's get it on, let's do this. He just made another video of a protest they had outside of a courthouse, and he is probably best known for a video that he made that made it onto David Icke's website, and they were arresting a judge. The people had come together from all over the UK to arrest this judge, and they did. They made a citizen's arrest, but the police officers, the enforcement arm of the law, would not arrest them. And they were saying, do your job, do your job. And they did not, which kind of brings us back to who's everyone working for anyway. It appears nobody is working for the people because everything is a corporation, from the agencies that you can find on Dun and Bradstreet, the FDA and the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, and everybody's on the on Dun and Bradstreet. Everybody's a corporation, and everybody wants us to live up to their corporate statutes. Now, this and we are not obliged to at all. So Anita Whitney was on my program, and she was explaining that because we are perpetually in a state of emergency, that they are getting away with this. So annually, the president signs that some emergency bill, and I'm definitely posting her interview underneath all of my interviews from now on, because people have to understand that the people we turn to for to protect us, for justice, they don't work for us at all. They're just pretending. They don't work for us. We vote for them. That's a farce right there. The whole voting system, we know, having seen Ron Paul fill stadiums, Romney fill conference rooms, and Romney won? Okay. So the whole thing is just, it's pretty much unbelievable. So let's see, where is my friend Keith? Oh, dear. Well, he has 8 minutes left. I will contact him and say, you have, okay, might be best to just abandon altogether. Can't find the international code. Not prepared. Might be worse if you had me on. Apologize in advance. No, this would not be an advance apology. This would be belated. I'm very clear to people about looking up the world clock and making sure that they are on the correct time. I don't know what to say. I'm sorry. I'm truly sorry. Oh, dear. Well, anyway, I've given you a lot to think about, I hope. And I hope you will help me with my fundraiser so that we can wake parents up so they can free themselves from vaccines, so that we can all come together. As my last interview was saying, there are so many people fighting so many different issues. If we can all see, you know, come together, and she's just talking about the medical industry. I would like to say further that there are so many issues, be it war or vaccines or chemtrails. It's all different parts of the same issue. And the issue is tripart itself. It is greed, depopulation, and control. If you can name one thing that is wrong with the world or with your neighborhood that doesn't in some way have to do with either greed or depopulation or control or all three, I'd like to know what it is. If there's a problem that doesn't have to do with those three things or one of those three things, I want to know what it is. So please tell me what it is. And vaccines are the poster children for all three. So this is why I have made this particular fight my fight. We are attacking the smallest. My last guest was just informing me, and I had read several articles saying they intended to do this. They're going to be giving the deadly HPV vaccine to children in South Africa. Well, it starts in South Africa, but believe me, the minute this is why we have to stand up for people everywhere, everywhere. If you don't think it's coming home to roost, you're not paying attention. Everything that happens anywhere in the world and they get away with it will spread throughout the world. So it's never a kindly and goodly agenda that is being imposed on people or mandated. It is never kindly or goodly or out of concern for people's well-being. It is always to their detriment. So we absolutely must stand for every person, everywhere, always. I have chosen one issue, vaccine. I have protested with my friend Elizabeth outside of International UNICEF to save the children in Syria. We have gone to Princeton University for the best and the brightest to save them from the meningococcal vaccine that was untested in the UK and rejected in the U.S. and deadly in Africa. So we went there and we talked to the president, or at least his assistant. Certainly can't get at the president, but we were in his office, and then we educated the kids, and they were trying to inoculate 8,000 of them. They only succeeded to inoculate 5,000 of the best and the brightest. Can you imagine 5,000 children accepting an experimental vaccine? One has to wonder if graduation wasn't a threat, you know? But still, walk away. Walk away. Even if they are doing this mid-semester like they may be doing in Fordham, mid-semester, all of a sudden everyone has to be in compliance with the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine, and yet they admitted that all the cases of mumps there resulted from children who had mumps. So, you know, it's like they're backwards thinking. They feel that they can say any old thing and that everybody will fall for it. Oh, I'm in compliance. Well, don't comply. This is an outrageous rule. And demand your money back. I think everybody should sue for them. If they are forced to take vaccines to graduate, there should be a mammoth lawsuit. But whenever it comes to vaccines, lawsuits don't seem to apply. Gee whiz, nobody's liable. Everyone's culpable, but nobody's liable. It's very distressing. It is indeed. Okay, well, he's got 3 minutes to get into the show. He's still talking to me. Okay. Oh, he's on. Oh, yay. All right. Excellent. Keith, Occupy Manchester, Dusnup. I am so thrilled you are on with me.
Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Yeah.
Would you like to tell us about the video? You just recently made a video. You were outside. It looked to me to be a courthouse, and you were protesting. Would you like to start there? And when you talk to us about this, we will review all the other cases we've spoken of in the past.
Basically, the court hearing was a friend, Darren Nesbitt, who was supposed to be on the show with us, but basically because of the time difference, we've actually worked it out wrong, so he's not actually going to make it, I'm afraid. But basically he's not paying his mortgage on purpose to highlight the fraud mortgage system that exists in every mortgage is void, basically. I don't know if you're familiar with voidmortgages.com.
No, but I am now, and I'll put it underneath the screen.
Hello?
Please proceed, Keith. I'm going to keep quiet so that you can sit. You don't have a lot of time. You have about 16 minutes, so you do all the talking from this point on.
Okay. Well, basically, Darren, can you still hear me okay there, Sally? Yeah.
I hear you beautifully.
Okay, though. Darren is a friend I met on the Barton Moss camp. which, if people aren't familiar with, is an anti-fracking camp in Salford, which is just near Manchester. And this is kind of our hometown, and the fracking exploratory drilling, I think they're calling it, is going on at the moment, where they're drilling all over the UK these test sites to check what's actually, you know, in the ground, if it is worth fracking at these locations. So there is the Barton Moss Protection Camp. If anybody who's listening wants any further information on this, Facebook is the best place to go, as is often the case these days. There is the Barton Moss Protection Camp. I think that's one of the names of the groups, which is a group on Facebook, obviously. There is a Say No to Fracking at Barton Moss. Basically, if you search on fracking and Barton Moss, you will find, you know, groups relevant to it. Barton Moss and Beyond, one of the groups is called. That's an open group with nearly 1,000 members in. Say No to Fracking on Barton Moss is another open one that's got nearly 5,000 members in. Barton Moss Protectors is actually a closed group. I think they had some kind of trouble with that, as anyone who sets up a group on Facebook will know, whether it's spammers or just idiots or, you know, it's paid infiltrators or just people who like to moan or, you know, challenge the protesters or protectors, as they like to be called, which is an interesting touch, because I know, I don't know if it's the same in America, Sally, but protesters over here can be get a bit funny about being labelled protesters. When we were part of Occupy, there was a gentleman by the name of Tricky, who is actually at Barton Moss now as well, and prior to that was in Alexandra Park in Manchester, where they are just chopping down trees like you wouldn't believe, taking it back to like Victorian times where parks were just empty with no trees in. And basically, Tricky's stance while we were a part of Occupy was, you know, we're not protesters. Don't call us that, because we're not protesting. It's something else, which I suppose occupying was, because you weren't actually, you know, you weren't on a march as such. You weren't protesting in that sense. I believe I was, but, you know, I just thought, I've had enough, I'm going to go and camp, as have a lot of people who have camped up at Barton Moss. And the reason I'm mentioning all this, Sally, is because, again, I think you've had some freaky weather yourselves. We won't go into the potential causes of that, unless you really want to, but we've had some crazy weather in the UK, as I'm sure, again, you'll be aware of. In America, the way the news is these days, you know, the floods in the south.
Yes, chemtrails
and
geoengineering and fracking.
Yeah,
chemtrails,
basically.
Geoengineering and fracking, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was at ITV and the BBC and Sky News were actually on site yesterday at Barton Moss, and I was talking to them all and saying that's a bigger environmental problem. The reason it's, as in pointing to the chemtrails, and they're like, you know, scratching their heads. And I said, the reason it's a bigger problem is because nobody's talking about that. I said, stick that on your news, you know what I mean? Obviously, knowing full well that they have no intention of doing so. And incidentally, I was up a tree filming yesterday, and the police, you could tell, were flustered, because what they like to do is a line of people. What they do at Barton Moss camp is they walk the trucks in and out, just slow, you know, slowing down the whole process. Various people, again, if you look on YouTube, there are various, if people do want to follow this, there are various live streamers. I'm sure one won't mind me mentioning his name, Tristan Woodwards, does a lot of the live streaming, and they have a line of police and a line of protectors, as they like to be called, who, you know, it's like a stand-off situation. I won't go into great detail, because I can't stand the Greater Manchester Police, and if I start a rant, I won't stop. But their treatment of the protectors has been abhorrent and disgusting and despicable, and they are themselves committing crimes on a daily basis. If people do check out the YouTube videos, I'm sure they'll be quite horrified at some of the treatment of women, of old people. You know, some of these people are local people. Some have come from all over the country to show support with the camp.
or, you know, they're just anti-fracking and all the rest of it. Some are young, some are old. It really is a, you know, there's children running about on the camp. There is old people who, you know, look in their 90s, who join the front line with the police. And the treatment of the protectors has been, like I say, diabolical. One woman was dragged and left, you know, collapsed on the floor. The protectors were being told by the police that the ambulance was already called, and then found out later that that wasn't the case when they eventually called, you know, the ambulance themselves. They said, no, they haven't had any previous call, you know, which obviously if an emergency service contacts another emergency service, they're likely to get a quicker response as well. So it's just been diabolical, and Darren is one of, I don't think he actually, you know, stays on site at the camp, but he's one of these visitors who's pretty much there every day. Do you know what I mean? He may as well be camping there. But he is fast becoming an icon. I know yourself, Sally, you love the You Can Stick the New World Order Up Your Arse song, which is one of his, every day you go to the camp, basically, they do the line where they slow down the trucks. So the police basically guard, you know, the trucks. They're allegedly facilitating a peaceful protest, which is, you know, couldn't be further from the truth. They push people. They do all the little tricks that they do, you know, kicking people and stamping on people, and then, you know, telling them to move forward and when they are doing, you know, and what, you know, stop pushing back when they're not. And so it's almost childish to watch, you know, the way it is. The protectors moaning at them moaning at them, move forward. And they're like, I'm not, stop pushing me, I'm being assaulted. And everyone trying to live stream, and everyone gets a bit, adrenaline kicks in and all the rest of it, and people are shouting and screaming. So I'm not sure on the live streams how much of it's audible, you know, because you've probably got about 10 voices shouting and screaming at once. But, you know, the technology's there. Don't hate the media, be the media, as we say in our circles. People can watch this pretty much live. They will find the live stream feeds on the groups on Facebook. The live stream goes onto YouTube almost automatically, I think, so there's quite a few. If you're lucky, you might find some of me on live stream when I bore the cameraman waffling about chemtrails and everything else. How am I doing for time, Sally?
You're doing very well, actually. You have, wait a minute. No, you have 8 minutes. You have 8 minutes.
8 minutes, wicked. So basically, you know, they are... The news from, I'm trying to think which way you want to do it, because I know you're interested in Darren. I think it's probably best if I...
I'll have him on another time. I am interested to know what you are pursuing, because quite frankly, this is a, you would have had more time just by yourself had we been able to connect earlier. So continue with what you are pursuing as a filmmaker, as a human rights activist, and just continue to what you are doing.
Fair enough. Again, I try and get to Bartimos as often as I can. I've only been a few times myself. You know, the difference between Occupy, which was 2011, and now, being a family man and what have you, I can't kind of commit the same kind of time. So, you know, I would have probably been camping there myself. And that was the point I was going to make earlier, sorry, is that the weather that we've had in this country has been atrocious. And it wasn't your normal kind of UK winter, whatever you want to call it. They've been there since November last year, these protectors, some of whom have been there from the very start. Now, you might be familiar with a gentleman by the name of Ian R. Crane. I'm not sure if you are, but if you're not, some of your listeners may be. And he's quite well known in the alternative view scene. If anyone's familiar with Edge Media, Ian R. Crane was at least one of the people behind that, if not the main person behind it. I don't want to offend anyone else who might have been partners with him or all the rest of it. But, you know, he was... a key player in Edge Media, which I know when I awoke, and you know, found that channel. Basically, you know, it was a vital alternate to the media, as the title suggests, with Alternative View. And watching his stuff, not just Ian's, obviously he would appear on shows on there, but watching his stuff and hearing him talk in the UK, he used to be in the oil industry and quite high up, it would appear. And he basically is, you could call him a whistleblower as such. He kind of came out of it and, you know, saw the light, if you will, set up Edge Media, went down that route, if you like. And when the BP oil spill occurred, Ian all of a sudden had a good platform because of his knowledge of the oil industry. So he was talking about Schlumberger and all these other guys who, you know, wouldn't probably mean anything to anyone outside the oil industry at the end of the day. But he was explaining how this was, you know, such a obvious kind of a false flag event that, you know, if an engineer goes on an oil rig and they tell him it's kicking, they get everyone off there instantly. You know, that's like a fire alarm type thing. And basically, Ian, because of, I suppose, links to fracking, you could argue with fracking and oil and, you know, similar industries, all the rest of it, he's been going on talks all around the UK, I'd say for, I don't want to underestimate, but it's got to be a year, easily. He's been touring the UK talking about fracking, the potential nightmare that it is, the situation in you know, places like America and Australia and other places that have had fracking done there, and you know, awakening people to the dangers of it and exactly what it is, because still to this day, as people will be familiar, you know, we are preaching to the converted a lot of the time. You know, most people, if you go up to them in the street, whether that be a sidewalk in New York or a street in Manchester, you know, and say fracking, they'll probably not have a clue what you're on about. And if you point to the sky and show them chemtrails, they'll probably tell you that it's, you know, jet fuel. So there's a lot of work still going on there. But what Ian R. Crane has done specifically to do with fracking is he's the named defendant in a court case that was taken to court where they tried to evict the camp. Now, this is, we're on Wednesday, aren't we? So it was Monday that this court case was, 10 o'clock at Manchester Civil Courts. And I attended just to try and get a before and after interview with at least Ian, if not, you know, a few of the people going to the hearing. Whenever I go in a court, again, I don't know if people are familiar, but I'm pretty sure this is, you know, crosses the Atlantic and it's all courts because they're all serving under admiral law and all that. But by obeying what the judge is saying, you kind of you're going into their contract. That's when you're kind of obviously a defendant or what have you. So I'm not, but I'm just in the gallery. But I don't like to do what they say, you know, just being a
you
little
have
bit
one
defiant.
Minute. You have 1 minute left. You have 1 minute left.
1 minute.
So
that 8 minutes disappeared. So basically, in a bullet point format, Ian's case didn't succeed. Without going into too much detail on that, they were preparing for eviction yesterday at 12 o'clock. Peel Holdings, who own the land, reportedly had 200 bailiffs on standby, and it was going to be kind of World War III. Anyway, something's occurred, and an extension is in place, which could be up to 30 days at the moment. So the camp should be there for another 30 days, hopefully. And Darren is famous for being the musician there, if you like, with his songs, which are all very spiritual and all very good. And if you look for him on YouTube, I'm sure you'll find him. And yeah, please look out for him and give a shout out for the Bat and Moss Protection Camp, who've been there however many months. And I'd just like to finish by saying that thing that you're promoting at the moment is awesome as well, Sally. So I've shared that again.
Anti-vaccine. Let's be clear about that. All right, Kim Kuznip, I appreciate your calling in today. I will also post Darren's song underneath. Any links you are interested in having people pursue, please send to me, and I will post them under the show as well. Thank you for all of your activism. You are certainly a sterling example of what everyone should be doing. This would be a wonderful world if we had a million Keith Kuznips, or even 10,000.